This is CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Well, fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't. Boom! Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom!
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the ad man, and we are back at it. Hey, it's been weeks. It feels like it's been weeks. It's been a whole bunch of weeks. Last week, it's been two entire weeks, right? Two entire weeks. Yeah, Panessa is here, making sure that I know. I know exactly the depths of my crime. But it's not necessarily a crime, because last week was Human Rights Day. And I hope none of you guys were made to work last week, because I also know how advertising works, guys. Advertising and working people on the weekend and working people on public holidays. I hope none of you guys worked too hard last week on Human Rights Day, because of exactly what it is. You know what I mean? Like it is your human right to go home and see your family. I know that in some agencies, I remember back in the day, there used to be those agencies where like it almost felt like it was an honor to work late. And to work the weekend and to work public holidays. Not a fuck, guys. This is 2018. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the work still needs to go out. But make sure you do the work in time so that you can actually go and have those holidays, because I'm pretty sure we're past that as a people. We're not celebrating you working ultra late. Anyway, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man, and we're still here. If you follow me on social media, you'll know that I've got a really, really top guest today. But then, additionally, over and above the guest that I announced, I've got another guest in the studio with us, and some of you might recognize her because from her time in the land of advert. But we'll get into that in a little bit. But hit me up. Remember, hit me up on social media. Hit me up on Twitter. It's at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter, or at CliffCentral.com on Twitter as well. Remember, there's that WhatsApp number 079-748-2090. Send us a message on that WhatsApp number. I know I say this all the time, but it's because it's real. Don't call us. You know what I mean? Don't call us on the WhatsApp number, because we all know how WhatsApp calls go. You know, they all drop. But at the same time, we also have a landline number. You know what I mean? Remember those things? 90s kids? Remember those things? Landline number? We still have one of those. So it's 0861-555-189 if you want to speak to our guests. That's 0891-555-189. It does feel like it's been pitch season. Right? But then again, I mean, I feel like pitch season is extended throughout the entire year. I remember a time when it just felt like there was like that one, that two or three months when we were all just pitching. But now it just feels like that's all the damn time. So how has that been to you? You know what I mean? Hit us up. Send me some messages. Send me a text. Send me a message on Twitter. Tell me how pitch season has been to you. You know, have you gone to see your family? You know, how's that the midnight pizza? Are people still eating pizza while we're pitching, guys? I'm pretty sure that's what causes some of those fights that we've heard happen during pitches. let's not get into that, actually. But I'm pretty sure that's what causes some of that shit that happens during pitches. Hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on Facebook. I've got some really, really dope guests with me today. But I want to talk about a couple of things, you know. I want to shout out Cheza. Cheese is out in Kenya. Huge shout out to the homie Cheza, that he was able to organize this show to actually still be able to happen all the way out in the on the East Coast. Shout out to Cheza. him and Mbuso are out in Kenya, not just gallivanting. I mean, they're gallivanting as well, but they're not just out gallivanting, but they were out there for Sabelo's wedding. You guys remember Sabelo? He was out here on the show a couple of months ago. So huge shout out to Sabelo on the wedding out in Kenya, doing big things, getting the land far and wide. As they say, so fantastic! Huge shout out to the homies out there, and to Cheese for making the show happen once again. Another thing that's happened recently: the finalists for the Liberty Awards were announced. The Liberty Radio Awards. Now, radio is something that's very, I mean, for obvious reasons, radio is something that's very, very close to my heart. From just, you know, the production of the entire platform up until radio spots and radio ads, all that stuff. Just, you know, it makes my young prostate flatter. Yeah. Do you see that? I even got nervous saying it because I'm not really sure if I'm allowed to say it, even if we're on closecentral.com. Anyway, but yeah, so the finalists have been announced. So congratulations to everybody out there, to all those radio stations that play our radio spots, to all those radio stations that also agreed to play our radio spots at 12 midnight. For those of you who know the Luris deadlines and stuff, you know that you've asked people to play our radio spots on Algoa FM at midnight when no one is listening. So to all those guys out there playing our radio spots, and to all the finalists, huge shout out to you guys, and good luck to everyone who's been nominated. Speaking of which, I mean, I'm not mandated to speak about it, but I saw the first kind of Luris call to entry. I think is it the first one? But I saw a Luris call to entry recently, and I think that they said the early bird entries open on the 18th of April, something along those lines. So we're here again. You know what I mean? It's always strange how the cycle just kind of catches up with you. You know, it's just like, you know, we just came out of Luris season, and then, you know, all the international awards happen, and then boom, we're at it again. So here we are again, guys. The Luris are coming up. I hope that all that proactive stuff, but proactive I also mean real. You know, don't scam us, guys. Please, we all know what happens to scammers. Scammers get to give their awards back. Yeah, it gets tough in the land of scam. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So don't scam. Please get your entries ready. Get yourself ready for the Luris. In fact, with my guests in the studio today, we're going to be talking about the Luris because you know, there's some old stories from, and let's not say old. There's some stories from a time past. I just got to look. There's stories from a time past at the Luris, and how we can kind of recapture that. You know what I mean? I feel like there's some things we've let go of that we just need to recapture. And maybe that's just because I've gotten older. But let us just recapture. You know what I mean? What we used to have as the Luris. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm actually going to introduce you to my guest. One of my guests is here. My other guest is still on the way because, you know, potholes. You know what happens in this town when it rains? It's potholes and robots stop working. I mean, let's leave that for another show. I'm sure there's another show on on this platform that deals with stuff like that. Potholes, complaints, you know what I mean? So do listen out to cliffcentral.com throughout the day, throughout the week, because I'm sure you're going to find the show that's going to entertain that particular that particular topic. But so my guest that's in the studio right now, like I said before, I mean, some of you might remember her from. I remember when I started out in the game, and I know I tried not to. I tried not to date this conversation, but I remember when I started out in the game, and I arrived at AAA, and I think this lady had just graduated out of AAA, and we happened to have a very short conversation, because she was no I think she was actually a year ahead of me. I think she was still in the she was actually still in at AAA. And then we had a very short conversation about, you know, and she was already talking about, you know, beyond AAA. You know, she was already talking about, you know, there's this guy at Network. I remember, I don't know, it was at Hunt. Shout out Dialo. Dialo was actually at Hunt at the time. And this lady was telling me about how there's this guy who's already looking for some people who want to go. She didn't even remember this conversation, but I remember it very clearly. But yeah, you guys, some of you might remember her from all that time ago. But then you also might have seen her name. Our other guest is here. Yeah. Guys, you guys should see the studio right now. I'm gonna post some photos. I'm gonna post some photos of what it looks like in the studio right now. But yeah, I feel like we've just turned the cliffcentral.com into Sun City. Yeah. You see, he doesn't even wait for me to tell him anything. He's already on the mic. This is what I'm talking about, guys. I was in the process of introducing my first guest, but now we're going to do both my guests. But in the studio with me today, guys, is none other than Lodi Matatel. What's up, Lodi? How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, it's good to have you in the stool, man.
Thanks for having us.
That's that surprise guest I told you guys about. I only thought I was going to be seeing Vincent, but then boom, as the game does, it'll show you. You know what I mean? How have you been, Lodi? How have you guys recovered from? Have you recovered from last weekend?
You mean Sunday?
Yes. Yes, from this past.
It's Wednesday.
From 3 days ago.
Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hump day. Yeah. I'm okay, I think.
Yeah.
It's been touch and go. Is like it? Yeah. Yeah.
Because like I said, I mean, the context for saying this looks like Sun City is because the Safters were just in Sun City in the past weekend, and did that bring back? I mean, we slightly spoke about it during the break. Well, before the show started, did that bring any Luri's nostalgia back to you?
Did a little bit, but I mean, I didn't stay in the ad world that long. But yeah it did. I you know, driving down, not quite nominated.
Yeah,
just irrelevant in the background. Yeah. The agency debated whether the juniors should even come. It was like, oh
we know what? That one.
Yeah, you're like, okay, fine, we're here. Yeah, everybody's finished.
Yeah,
and I mean, our SAFTAs are not quite like. I mean, like you guys. Advertising in general.
Yeah.
Listen, at Network, if we got a client was happy,
Yeah. Good
email,
yeah,
there'd be champagne and croissants in the morning.
That's right.
That's when I started learning how to drink in the morning. It was not weird. We're popping bottles and drinking Moët in the morning. And that's just normal.
That's fantastic.
And I mean, you move from there, it can only get worse.
Right? I mean, or better, depending on which side you're standing at. The guys from Network, hit us up. Does this still happen? You know what I mean? Tell us what happens at Network these days when a good email comes through. You know what I mean? When a review goes well.
That's a nice review. Popping bottles.
But it's so good to have you in the studio, Lodi. And it's gonna be dope. I feel like we're gonna have a dope hangout talking about what you guys have been up to and what you guys have been doing, what this past weekend has been about. So let's talk about my other guest who's just arrived, who made his way through past those potholes of Jersey. Through the water and the red lights that are not working, but he's in the studio with me today. So,
and the popos,
yeah, and the popos, guys. That's what he just, yeah. So, guys, I mean, in the studio with me today. I mean, I feel like it's a man who needs very little introduction after his exploits in the past couple of days. And I think that for me, it's one of those things that I take very personally. The idea of introducing more storytellers and more filmmakers to this world to this land of advert. You know what I mean? Because I feel like it almost always feels like we have a repertoire of people that we constantly just call on. I feel like the repertoire has gotten better over the past couple of months, mind you. But I do feel like we're on the way to a better place. But in the studio with me today, fresh out of killing Sun City and burning it down, Mr. Vincent Mulo is in the studio with me. What's going on, Papa?
Ooh, good.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm feeling good. I haven't recovered before you even asked me. I'm sure you can tell. And the listeners can hear from my voice.
Yeah? Was it that good? Was it that good?
It was hectic.
Yeah, is it?
Parties. We just... But you know, we
Vincent ran up on stage every single time. There was no walking and thank you. It was like a... every single time.
But I guess that's the love, right? That's the love for every single one of those awards.
Listen, Grant, we work so hard.
That's right,
we work so hard, brother. Yeah. So... What was happening on stage was really just us giving you the feeling that's inside of us.
That's right. That's right.
All the energies that we've put into the work that we've done. And you know, Lodi touched on something and says, "Hey, we must valela ngaphandle kudala," you know.
Yeah.
So you know, when you are free and you're eventually getting that key,
that's right. That's
you really
right.
want to enjoy it. That's what was happening.
That's what's up. I fucking enjoy that. Yeah. You know what the other thing is for me? It's like it's so refreshing to have the conversation where people are actually clear about the fact that we work hard. Because I'm over this whole thing of people making it seem effortless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I guess that's what you touched on now, Lodi, about you know people sometimes go on stage and it's just like. Yeah, man, I just wanna like you know thank moms and no. I've been putting like my heart and soul into this thing, yeah. And it's refreshing for me to get that sense from you guys, you know. But is it always like that? Are you guys always like? Does it always feel like you're operating at high intensity?
We do. I'll tell you what. On Monday, 8 o'clock, I was in the final mix booth.
Boom. home.
Yeah, this is after coming from Sun City.
Yeah, did you drive back on Monday?
No. At least I had Lodi with me. Yeah. I mean, most of the actors were saying, if Lodi wasn't here, we'd be going back on Monday.
Oh, so most of the actors from Jovijo were there with you.
Yeah.
And how was that vibe, man? How did it feel?
Oh,
how did it feel for the whole
thing.
Team?
It's such a beautiful thing, and I'm particularly happy for Warren Masemola, who just got in his first lead role.
Shout out to Warren Masemola. What's going on?
Yeah. And also, you know, Grant, there's something you don't know. The kind of caliber we had of actors are the ones that were supporting us when we were down and out and we're just getting tired. They were the ones we were going, yo, what's going on, man?
Come on, get up. That's great, man.
Yeah.
That's great.
I feel like I never said that. I didn't mention the Sibulele Gilichanas, Hlengiwele Shaba, Tony Jorojes, the Rapulana Sipemas, the Herod Manamelas, all those people who were like, we've got you, don't worry, do your thing.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
We're behind you.
That's fantastic. In fact, you know, we actually haven't gotten into exactly what it is that you guys want. So tell us. I think, Lodi, you want to tell us what exactly is it that you guys want over the past? Because also I know that a war show goes over a couple of days, right? There's that other one, the industry one that a lot of people don't even know happens.
The Craft Awards.
The Craft Awards, where people just like carry out a whole bunch of awards and stuff.
Yeah.
So what exactly did you guys win? Tell us.
A Total Onslaught. I'd like to talk about it.
Let me go with the big... listen, the Craft Awards are the most important ones because it's the people who are actually technically doing the work.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Saturday's awards are great, but it's mostly people who are in front of the camera.
On the screen.
So, that's great. We need to celebrate those people. But the people that run the industry...
That's right.
...are the people that are behind the scenes. Dope. The technicians, the producers, everybody else. And that's the night on which we cleaned up.
Oh,
that's
look at
the
you.
Night. That's the night we got 6 awards.
Boom!
No, we got 4 awards.
We got 4 awards. We got 6 awards. We got 3.
No, we got 4. Remember, we got Best Drama and Best Actor on Saturday.
There we go, guys. These are the debates I like to be a part of, guys. How much did we win?
So if we won 9 awards in total, we got 3.
Jeez, yeah, we won so
much.
Oh, my
God.
I can't count them.
See, guys, I'm going to show you the role of the production team here.
We got 3 on Saturday. We got 6 on Thursday
night.
That's
insane shit.
And there's nothing better than seeing every single HOD that comes up from the departments that ran the production, and you see black people go up.
Boom!
And be like, we had black cinematographers, we had Marius van Gran. We have to shout out our homie.
You shout out Marius van Gran. What's going on?
Yeah. The only white guy we have. Shame, Marius.
1%. He's bringing down our BE score, but you know, family members that you have to keep on, family that you pick up along the way. And then the rest, cinematography, sound design, editing, art direction, production design. And then we won for best cinematography again, I think, for our documentary. So both fiction and non-fiction, take a name.
Pumi made sure outside that I understood exactly what was won. You know, she was like, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. It was not just Jovijo. So huge shout out to your PR team. That is Pumi.
Thank you. Shout out to Pumi.
She made it very
ride
clear.
Or die.
She made it very clear that you guys didn't just win for the fiction. It was fiction and non-fiction. And that's a big deal. I think that's a huge deal.
It's a big deal because no one has done it before.
Oh, that's what's up.
No one has dominated both categories all at the same time at the same ceremony.
That's fucking crazy.
And it was us.
Look at you.
Yeah, because before then, we broke a viewership record.
Yeah.
And now we're breaking awards record.
I feel like we can't trust you with anything now. You keep breaking shit.
Yeah. I like that.
Oh, that's out of control. Guys, it's still your boy, G-Man the Ad Man, hanging out with Vincent Moloi and Lodi Matsetela here on CliffCentral.com. Hit me up at Blacksmith. It's at BLAXEM. If you have any comments, any questions, how the fuck do you guys do it? Hit me up and I'll pass the questions on to the guys. Now, I remember, right? A friend of mine, shout out to Mr. Mpela Mamabul, what's going on?
Yeah.
We were hanging out at my house in And I told him that, dude, I saw this thing. I saw this trailer for this thing, yeah. right? And I was like, I'm not really sure what it is, right? And I paid it for him. And he just sat there quietly, you know, almost like he knew something I didn't know, right? And I was like, dude, look at this thing, man. It looks like it's going to be the most amazing thing ever. Like, it does. And I just remember hearing, Ewen. Otatala, I was like, this thing is going to be fucking crazy, right? And then he proceeded to tell me the backstory behind it, because at the time, yeah. if I'm not mistaken, you guys just had a trailer.
Yeah.
You didn't have a thing. Tell me the story about it. Tell me the story behind how Chuhija came to be.
Well, shout out to Mpela, by the way, because he also came into an edit.
Yeah, you shout out my pals.
Yeah, to give us yeah. his opinion. Actually, his sister was our business partner. Unfortunately, she left us for personal reasons.
That's right.
But
she's still family, though.
She's that's
family.
Right. That's
I mean,
right.
if you saw the pictures from the SAFTA, she was on the stage with us.
So. Yeah.
Let's go.
Still love.
Yeah. Lots of love. So we went around shopping to get this on TV, and people just didn't believe it. Eventually, yeah. we thought, let's just shoot it so they can see it. At least they will understand and feel it.
Yeah.
Guess what, G-Man? Even after that promo, people were still like, yeah, it's dope, but you know.
You're kidding me.
I'm telling you.
You're kidding me.
You won't believe it. People still didn't believe
yeah.
that this was something special. I don't know what it is, G-Man, but yeah. I'll tell you this. What I've realized is that there's a lot of distrust by black administrators.
Oh, really?
When black professionals yeah. comes to them with ideas.
That's insane. That's a whole other conversation, right?
Yo, man.
And what I want to have, because I feel like it's so easy for us a lot of the time to just say, and I'm not saying that doesn't happen,
yeah.
to say, hey, rikwala kwenhle ke bongamla.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
to kind of say, hey, bongamla, just, you know, it's tough for us. And we have this conversation on the show quite a bit about like reviewing work with white creative directors yeah. and whatever. And we just feel like those people don't get it.
Yeah.
But then when it starts to feel like, it also happens with other people or other black people
yeah.
in positions of power.
Yeah.
Then we have a whole other dynamic, right?
Yeah, it's a serious dynamic. And I think it has to do with self-esteem.
Yeah.
And also just like a serious psychological ills.
That's right.
Just when you don't believe in yourself, you can't believe in somebody that looks like you. Even when they have evidence.
Yeah.
By the way, before we did this, we had already collected some awards, both here and international. So you couldn't say we are incapable or
that's
we
right.
don't have the skill.
Yeah.
So we just realized that we probably should just do this thing.
Yeah.
And that wasn't easy. That wasn't nice. It was emotionally draining.
Yeah,
especially,
I'm sure.
Oh, man.
You know what else we're not fans of being the only ones?
Yeah.
Not that we're the only ones. There yeah. are other production, black-owned production companies
yeah.
that are doing quite well.
Yeah.
We're not into it. It's not about being exceptional and standing out and
right,
being
right,
tokens.
Right.
Like, that is not the point at all.
Yeah.
In fact, they should be like, they should just be.
This room should be full standing, of
many
yeah,
of us.
Yeah.
Shoulder to shoulder, or like, you know, storming
yeah.
the castle, basically.
Sure.
Kind
that's
of.
Insane.
That's how I want to
yeah.
see it. So I think it's great. We've done well.
Yeah.
But the idea that they're still. Records to break and that
yeah.
we're still exceptional in certain ways is something that is
concerning.
At times a little yeah, it's disappointing. It's like, how can we still be the only
yeah.
ones?
Just to emphasize, G-Man,
yeah,
we broke the record. We were not the first black production company. We are the first production company to break this record.
That's what's
white
up. That's what's up. See, and that I endorse. That I endorse a lot. You know what I mean? Like I like the fact that we're kind of going, you know. Also, over and above all that, we are just dope. We happen to be black.
Yeah.
We're not dope. You know what I mean? It's not yeah. the other way around.
Yeah.
But Lodi, to your point, I mean, do you think that, how far do you think we are from that? From arriving at a place where it feels like there's like critical mass of us kind of getting to storm the castle, so to speak.
I think there is. So I was talking about people having space to be mediocre. It's a very weird thing to try and fight for.
Yeah.
But basically, I'm saying, people need to have space to fail or
make
mistakes
I hear.
Find themselves and get to a point where they can be. Whereas how we start is, you need to be exceptional when you begin. You need to be able to be breaking records and everything when you start, which is not fair.
Which is a very strange place, right?
Yeah, it's not fair.
Yeah.
You don't have have that experience, you don't have the skill yet, you don't have the know-how. You have to have failed to know when you see the bump coming up, that speed bump is about to get you. You know how quick you need to be braking in order to make it, or how fast you need to go over it not to bother you. It's a very weird thing to say, to fight for mediocrity, but it's like, actually, I'm saying space for people to learn to be bad and then get good.
It makes perfect sense to me. And I mean, it's crazy because I draw those parallels with advertising as well, because it's exactly what we exist amongst as well. So it feels like, you know, because of how the industry has kind of squeezed itself into this tight position where everyone needs black talent now, but nobody was actually made the time in order to nurture the black talent. You know, the beautiful place that we're all in right now. And so now what happens is everybody that comes into the game is expected to be exceptional. Mm, yeah. So everybody that comes in, everyone just like, yeah, I don't know, I don't feel like he's quite there. What the fuck do you mean I don't know if he's quite there? Of course he's not quite there. He's just come into the game.
Yeah.
So we've not actually created, to your point, and I think you've articulated really, really well, the fact that there isn't enough space for us to just kind of go, he's okay.
Mm. Yeah.
He's on the come up. Let him live in the space of okay for a little bit so he can get to the come up. Mm. But how much of that do you also think is our own doing? Because, you know, I also know that, like, sometimes we like the idea of fast forwarding to the money.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean? So the idea of going, but I mean, if you're saying I'm mediocre, it means you're going to pay me mediocre money. Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So everyone tries to fast forward to get to, I want to be creative director right now.
Yeah.
Because that's where the money is. How much of that do you think is us? I don't know. You tell me, Vincent.
It's not. Yeah. It will never be that individual alone, because he's getting hired or being given that position by other people who perpetuate that.
Yeah.
They perpetuate the immediate, instant success, instant star, wunderkind kind of idea of, this is how black kids, he's the latest black kid that's going to he's going to sweep up at the Lions.
Yeah.
He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And then, of course, you fall into it. Can we help that we a lot of us come from poor backgrounds? And when you talk about somebody that's making money, mind you, is to make up for a lot of things. So it's not like he's immediately moving out.
Yeah.
It's like maybe his first car, first apartment, maybe can hook his mom up with like an extra room at that. Do you know what I mean?
The dynamics are many as well.
Yeah, they're different. This is a conversation that people used to have ages ago, that when one makes money, when an individual is making money, they're not supporting the immediate family, a black individual. They're supporting their immediate family and other family members, and it stretches.
Yeah.
It should, because that's the only way we will progress. But maybe rushing for the money is, I can't fault anybody for saying, I'm not going to say no to that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can now put four more people on my medical aid or whatever.
Absolutely,
I don't know.
Absolutely. No, I hear you completely.
I have a different take.
Yeah?
And a lot of my advertising fans won't like this.
Yeah?
But I find that most creative directors, or even people in big position in the advertising space, just don't have the power. They're just there and they are talking.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
And they can't shake the ground and move the ground.
Yeah.
And it's very sad. And it speaks to that thing of just being, let's put this one, because, you know, the BE score wants us to pick this one. But we will not empower this one with knowledge, skill, and authority.
That's right. That last one, for me, I feel like, I'm always weirded out by the word power, right?
Yeah.
But that last one for me resonates with me a lot, because I feel like, you're right, I've seen, and we've all kind of heard of situations where it's just been like, but if that person was in the room, how did that thing get signed off?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If there are black people sitting in the room, how does work like that get out there?
Yeah.
Because obviously there's this room full of people who actually have the real authority, who actually get to say, yeah, you know, I just let this one go, right? Yeah. And you can't spend your life letting shit go. You know what I mean?
And no, you lose your mind.
Yeah.
I've been in, I worked for a soap opera. I won't mention any names.
Yeah.
You can read it in my bio.
Yeah.
Where that's what I did, not knowingly, but I was every day fighting for the battle of how we're representing black people to a youth drama.
That's right.
And we were speaking to young people.
Yeah.
And it turned out, well, first of all, I was, of the six writers, I was the only black person and the only woman.
Wow.
And the rest were all five older white men. All of them over the age of 40. I think I was in my early 30s at the time. And my fight, my daily fight as a storyliner, the only person who controls, like, what are we going to do with the characters, is they'd just destroy the black female characters, or somehow she'd end up somebody's affair or irrelevant or
so
just an emotional mess. And then just the power dynamics, literally they just centralize the power in one white male character in the entire series. The entire series, the power lay in one white man. I mean, this was ridiculous to me. And I would fight. I'd sit there and obviously I look like a crazy person. Yeah. I'd be like, no! Why are you trying to kill her off? And then I later found out that I was known as this because they all also happened to live in one white neighborhood by the lake.
Oh, yes. And I know this white neighborhood.
I had apparently this this reputation for being this crazy black girl in the writer's room. And I'm sure that's how the ECDs feel.
Yeah,
crazy black girl in the writer's room.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, why can't you just let shit be comfortable? You know what I mean? Why you always got to turn shit up? You know what I mean? And I think you're right. We've all witnessed it. And yeah, sure. Yeah, let me go to that place.
But
But it's funny we're talking about it because I actually saw one of your posts, Vincent, on Facebook. Yeah. And I think we'll mention the brand. It's fine. This is cliffcentral.com. We do what we want. So there was this there's this Eskom poster.
Yeah.
A billboard.
Yeah.
Right. And Nonel Mapanzola.
Yeah.
That and I think the line said, just like Mapanzola needs something. Needs that techies or something like that. And you were scathing. You were scathing, but you were also quite brief.
Yeah.
You know, and you said something along the lines of, you know, I mean, something about acknowledging the creative directors, the ECDs in advertising.
Yeah.
But maybe not all of them are as creative as they think they are.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is so true. And you know what? It so happens that they are most uncreative when it has to do with black culture.
Mm. That's right.
Then we're
dancing, we're singing, we're wearing costumes. So guy Asli Pantula, he's wearing costumes.
Exactly.
And he do some ridiculous thing that you don't know what it is, and you are like, this is not Pantula, my
we're
guy.
We're always like, respect the culture.
Exactly.
The culture.
And
he's doing some ridiculous thing.
It's hard, man. It's so sad. But those are the guys that are making the money.
Yeah.
And those of us who are trying to be genuine and true to the culture are not being given that money.
But I guess it keeps coming around in those circles, right? Because what happens is those opinions come off of just scratching the surface, right?
Yeah.
And you can't go too deep. You can't delve too deep. Otherwise, you alienate the white people who are actually in power.
Yeah.
Right? So once you go deep into the story, then it's like, yo, I feel like you're telling another story now, bro. I feel like, just give me the story that I can understand, bro.
I feel like.
You know what I mean? But that's what becomes, right?
I mean, the ego there in not being able to even let go and say, maybe because I understand it might be in the right direction because this is not for me.
Exactly.
They're not speaking to me.
Yeah.
So maybe they're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Which is how I feel generally people in editorial should, that's how they should work.
Yeah.
Whether you're a commissioning editor, if you're trying, and this is, I'm telling you, this is how they work elsewhere.
Yeah.
The best places where we've worked with commissioning editors and other broadcasters was when they can recognize that this, I don't understand it, therefore they must be going in the right direction.
Boom.
And they go with the gut feel and they go, I don't quite get it.
Yeah.
But let's go. Let's do it.
That's
dope. I've got your back. Let's do this. I promise you that's how it works. Even I know. I'm so removed from what's happening now, you know, on what kids are doing.
Like
what they're pioneering. I know I'm far from it.
Yeah. So, you're not in Bram every weekend.
Yeah.
Oh God. The headache. But no. I know. So I know when I can tell her, okay, something else is happening there. I don't get it. It looks dope. I feel it.
Yeah.
Let me put somebody else here and guide them.
That's
because
right.
They can tell. They can define it.
Yeah.
Let's rather work like that. But for people who continue to think that they will always be on the cusp of what's happening and on the cusp of change.
Never. Yeah.
Is, I mean, the ego there. If you don't get it, maybe it's good.
Yeah,
it's not for you. Have you ever paid? Have you ever bought pay-as-you-go electricity?
Yeah. You know nothing about that.
Have you ever even
space?
Seen
yeah.
the damn box? Yeah. You don't even know what that box looks like.
Look at this alone. Guys, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. I will continue to bring you all the issues, guys, fresh. Ask you slowly. This is not right. Anyway, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. Hit me up at Plaxim. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter. But once again, guys, you guys, and then you guys won for your documentary.
Yeah.
Right? Scandal of My People.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, for those of you out there who have not seen, just go check out the trailer. You know what I mean? I mean spine chilling stuff. You know, I saw the trailer and I got goosebumps pretty much instantly. I mean, and there's a whole story behind that as well. I mean, that took you apparently a whole lot of time to put together. Yeah. Tell us the story behind the Scandal of My People.
7 years, I was asked by a Portuguese, 7 years ago, I was asked by a Portuguese production house to do a short documentary in Namibia about a dress.
About a dress. Yeah.
And it was a Herero dress. And I went there, shot it, transferred the material, played on TV.
Yeah.
But something pulled me back and says, you have to tell the full story of these people.
Yeah.
Because I then found out that the Germans came into Namibia about 111 years ago.
Yeah.
And when the Herero people resisted the taking of their land, they were basically massacred. It was actually a genocide. And some of the skulls were then taken. This is what happened.
Yeah.
So they killed the people, cut off their heads, burned the skulls, scrub the flesh off. But they don't do it themselves. They get the widows to do that stuff. And then when the skulls are nicely scrubbed off, they are then shipped to Germany and then kept in a library, in some hospital. And
they were taken to Germany for the pseudo race science, you know?
You're kidding.
Trying to figure out to prove the inferiority and superiority between African and European.
That is insane shit.
And of course, they were just so determined to say that we are not real people, we're just animals, Africans. And eventually, I couldn't help it. I needed to tell that story.
Yeah.
And so, for the next 6 years, we're trying to sell the story. Only one Dutch company or funder who really believed in us and then gave us some development money and a bit of productions. But we searched for money and we couldn't find it.
That's insane.
And people said, I mean, she tells the story better.
We were just told no. So the whole thing was, the idea was that Germany started, when they finally acknowledged, well, this university, when they finally acknowledged that, yes, indeed, these skulls are here.
Yeah.
The Herero people said, bring back our skulls.
Yeah.
They brought back, there was a shipment that was made.
Of skulls.
And then the funders were like, well, the people we were asking money from were like, the story, that's the story.
Oh,
the skulls were returned.
No.
Yeah.
We're like, but did Germany acknowledge anything?
Yeah.
Was there an actual official statement from the diplomatic Germans in the diplomatic service in Namibia from the Germans about these skulls coming back?
Yeah.
Has the actual Namibian government said anything?
Yeah.
Because the Overherero are a minority. So we're like, has any of that happened? They're like, listen, you missed your story. There's no story here. Can you imagine saying people died?
Yes.
Like an entire nation was almost like wiped off the face of
the
earth.
And there's no story.
And you're saying, because skulls were returned, the story is over.
Because
we're writing a 3X structure. There's a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
That's not life. Life is not beginning, middle, end. Life is just one long continuum. The best kind of movies are movies where you get in, you sit, you feel like you join these people on a train ride and you get off, but that train continues.
It's still going,
Because when you picked it up, something else had happened. When you got on the train, I mean, something else had happened. When you get off at whatever station,
other things are going to happen as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how you should feel. That's how life is. That's how stories are.
Yeah.
And so, but it was also that there was no understanding of the people's humanity, that these are people's lives. It's not a soap opera.
Yeah.
It's a documentary. Mm. We've involved people. We said to them, we want to tell your story. We want to finish it. And you're telling me, like the Germans are telling them, the skulls are returned. End of story.
Yeah.
No. We are still impoverished. We still have no land.
Yeah.
There's still only 15,000 of us in, what is it? Is it 150,000?
Yeah.
There are very few over Herero in Namibia right now.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so that's the end of the story?
No.
You're going to support, basically you're saying what the Germans are saying.
Yeah.
Unless we can conclusively tie a bow around this,
yeah,
it is not worth telling. And so we fought. We fought.
Yes.
And
once again, it was black people, black administrators who were saying, no, there's no story. No.
That is insane.
In fact, the only people that gave us money at the time was white people.
That is ridiculous. That's insane.
And not only was it great, so this is what I'm talking about, people in editorial. what was great about this lady at the Bertha Foundation, and I have to shout Isabella Arate out. She might never listen to your show, Grant,
shut up.
Unfortunately.
Maybe she'll listen now. Maybe yeah, she'll yeah, listen yeah, now, right? Yeah, shout out Isabella, what's going on? It's your boy, G-Man, the ad man.
She's fantastic. She wasn't even going to just let Vincent tell the story. It was like, let's just finish it. And then when we handed in a cut, she said, okay, yeah, that's great, guys. You sort of finished the story. But Vincent, where's your voice? Where's your directorial voice?
Yeah.
Where's the auteur that I know you to be?
Yeah.
So it wasn't even just, she was like, on top of that, she's like, the reason we funded you was your voice.
That's right.
When you have people affirm you and they're like, your voice, that's how great. You tell stories, that's not great. Just any story.
Yeah.
Don't send me BS, Vincent. Yeah. What is this? Literally, way, that's how she
bullshit.
Was.
This is Chief Central.
She said, I don't want this. She's like, it's great.
Yeah, I but I don't want it. Yeah.
You're missing from this.
Yeah. That's insane.
Any
guys.
Other commissioning editor, I feel like, would have just been, okay, as long as we finish, we're fine.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
But this is understanding, unless it's Lodi and Vincent bringing themselves to the party and saying, this is how we do it.
Exactly.
Because anybody else could. You could have done a great documentary on it, but you would have done it from your point of view.
And it would have been a different film.
A different film.
Yeah.
So, but understanding people and saying, okay, you bring you, that's why we're working with you.
Yeah.
Let's make this better.
That's insane, guys.
But the beautiful thing is that then after that, we had a very lovely lady at the National Film and Video Foundation.
We have to shout Joy out.
You shout out Joy. What's going on? It's your boy, G-Man, the Ad-Man. Joy, what's up?
She got in there. She saw the story. She was like, yo, guys, let's go with it.
Yeah.
And she says, here's some money.
That's great.
Do it.
Let's finish.
That's fantastic.
And that's amazing. And, you know.
It amazed me because it also feels to me like Boopa Productions, right? That's it, right? You guys seem to obviously have a kind of a fingerprint, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's a signature way that you guys do stuff.
For sure.
If you were to encapsulate that in like, what do you think that is? What do you think that way is that you guys, that signature way that you guys do things is?
It's determination. It's the need to reimagine how we are presented.
Yeah.
We are a beautiful people.
Yeah.
We're intelligent people. We are smart. We've got a lot to give. But we are not given the platform.
Yeah.
And we are about that. We are about fighting for the platform for black people.
That's right.
In general.
Yeah.
Especially those with forward thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, I guess you also know where this question then is going. Is that will this ever then, ever at some point translate into the commercial space? You know, because I feel like the narrative makes perfect sense to me. And it feels like the kind of narrative that we've all been talking about for a very long time. There are very few, there's some production houses that have that down, that feel like they're making big strides in that direction. Whereas others just feel like, you know, it is what it is. We're just going to make whatever we've been making.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to people like Siriti Films and people like that who are making strides towards the direction. Would you guys ever, do you guys have any plans of, or have you even done, maybe I just don't know, have you guys thought about getting into the commercial space?
G-Man, we're gonna make money. That's the first
thing. That's
what's
up.
At some point we're gonna make money. I promise you, my brother, we're gonna make money.
Yeah.
Whether it's in the commercial space or whether it's in our space in TV or online, wherever. We're so determined. And I would like to be in the commercial space.
Yeah,
and of course if we were to go into commercials, we're gonna do it the way we do it.
That's right.
If we're gonna do commercials, I would imagine that the clients want what we bring, what already exists.
Yeah.
Right. So you asked what is the DNA of Boopa, and Boopa is about knowing that the process itself is as important as the final product.
Boom.
So yep.
Boom.
So
boom. 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 You got that. You got that. Boom.
Half the people
Shots
that
fired.
You saw on stage with us at the SAFTAs are people who are maybe even nameless in our credits, but they're our family. I really meant it. The guy who was holding our award is Knox, one of our security guards.
Oh, fantastic.
But they are so, when you see people that are that invested in the work that you're doing, you can't help but it become this love fest and a family.
Tell the Knox story.
Knox is one of the security guards. We shot at Crown Mines. So the people of Crown Mines as well, that entire community, we're not some Hollywood production that arrived and just took over with our trailers, whatever. We're like, Coco, we want to come shoot in here, Ma. Can we do this?
Yeah.
Like, it's that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
That's the only way we know how to work, right? So that's how we went about our business in engaging that entire community.
Yeah.
And that's how we were safe, I feel like. That's how we were
Because you were part of the community.
Because we had to become part of the community. they were happy to have our dancers there. The dancers are rehearsing on the side. They cause us, you know, people stop what they're doing. Or they just used to it. Or they're trying to learn. It's like Jovijo became Jovijo. So that township actually became Jovijo. But Knox was one of our security guards. And then we had also hired Keke, who's my friend's
enemy.
Enemy.
Yeah.
And Keke lives in the community too.
Oh,
he's
right.
Not an actor, but every time Vincent would be there, and I'm like, "You're gonna cast me." Yeah. He's like this kid who's like obviously not had it easy in life. We'd even work around his schedule. We'd be like, "Okay, Keke, he's gone to work."
Yeah.
Like, you know, when he comes back, around. He's got his role for him. And I see them outside. I'm driving offset now, and I see Knox is feeding Keke his lines.
Yeah.
Now none of these people are from this industry.
Right.
So Keke he takes the sides, he reads his lines, you know, like memorize, hands them back.
Yeah.
And then he starts doing his lines, acting, you know. And I literally see this. It felt like I was panning the shot because I was driving.
Yeah.
And then they stop and it looks like Knox is giving him notes about, you
That's
know, if
fantastic.
You did this, that and that and that. And then they stop and they step apart again and they do the scene again. And I was like,
this is
where are my witnesses? Like, is anybody else seeing this?
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the girls who lives in the neighborhood ended up in our first AD department. She was a second AD or assistant to the second AD.
Wow.
She would cast the extras for us. She'd like running around. You know when somebody knows how to read sides,
knows how to
read the schedule, knows like just working
That's
it.
Fantastic.
Like if anybody's looking for assistant to the second AD,
yeah.
I know a girl. Her name is Tuli Mayeki, so she's kick-ass girl.
Shout out Tuli, what's going on?
Tuli's hot, drives the guys crazy on set, but like is one of the guys. Like you can't touch her. She's like, what? She's so amazing.
That's
fantastic,
that
was the process.
Yeah.
Organic. We had like 15 interns on there. The kids that we love, that we just their internship is ending now in April. And if anybody's looking for like amazing kick ass interns who know their stuff, like gung ho, run around, what can I do kind of kids.
Yeah.
We have a ton for you.
That's insane.
So the process for us, why when we go up there, we're not going up alone. It's this motley crew.
Yeah.
It's because that's what it takes to create a show like that.
That's what's up.
You can't go
all types,
and
all
be a
sorts.
Story scavenger
and
just fucking scrape off the top and then say, look at this show that we managed to make, and then run off to Sundance and like be like, look at me, I'm an auteur.
Yeah.
Boom! So many loaded words in there. Guys, Lodi Matsetela will tell you guys what's up. She will tell you what is up. So tell me what's next then. You know, like, I mean, I think Jovijo is getting another season.
Yep.
So tell me what's up. What's next for Bull Pop Production?
Should we tell them?
Are you allowed to tell
me? Should we tell them?
Yeah.
Should we tell them, Lodi?
What? That we have a feature coming?
Ah, oh, there you go.
What do you want?
I wanted to say, we're in an advertising space. Grant. So we are, the thing about Jovijo is that it's a licensed TV show.
Right.
We own it.
Yeah.
We are looking to partner up with brands that make sense for the world of the story.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If I told you how many All Stars and Converse sneakers
are worn on that
were
show,
were like worn on that show,
deep.
That and, opening
and worn
sequence
out.
And
yeah,
worn and, out yeah. in every single color.
Yeah,
you know. So we're
so
looking,
hopefully the people at Converse are listening out right now.
Yeah. Converse, whoever makes
Samson,
sense in the
those
in
guys.
The,
there,
in the
there you go.
Yeah,
of Spanzola.
Yeah,
Dickies, whoever understands how to place their brands is not afraid.
Yeah.
Of I don't know, whatever it is they're afraid of.
Yeah.
Who understands how you can place a brand in its organic space. Not how you intended it, but how it is worn.
Yeah.
I feel like there's always this disconnect between what brands want their brands to be.
Yeah.
Like Timberland.
Yeah, exactly. And how they actually worn.
People actually receive it.
Yeah.
And if all those people are buying those shoes, if all those people are buying Vans and you're like, yeah, but we're still just skaters.
Yeah, exactly. Then you're missing an entire thing.
It's like you're not getting it, and it's okay. It should. Brands should evolve how they use Otherwise, what is it's the alchemy of the usage of brands and how else they manifest.
Absolutely. And I mean it's been done before where like it feels like brands have been able to kind of get themselves involved in the creative process up front. Mm. The way it's not a force fit. Because sometimes you've seen those things where it's just like, woo-wee, you know, this meeting happened after this thing was shot.
Yeah.
And someone said, guys, we need to insert a scene here where like someone just takes a huge sip of Heineken. You know what I mean? So how open are you guys to that kind of thing? You know what I mean? Like
very open.
Like kind of to have brand conversations. I guess what I'm leading to is we all exist now in this place of like content, and that's what people are calling it, the branded content stuff. Mm. How available are you guys for the kind of thing to kind of go, guys, I want to sit down with Pop Productions?
We're available. Yeah. You know why? When I say license and we own it, it's because we created and SABC provides a platform.
Right.
What we put in it is our decision.
That's right.
How we use every single element from that logo.
Yeah.
Down to anything else that's synonymous with Jovicho, we own it as our copyright. Absolutely. To exploit.
Yeah.
So anybody that understands the weight of that and where else you can, where you might want to take a brand, then you should be hitting us up.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. I think everybody out there, you guys heard the guys, brand managers, account directors, have chats with your clients. Let's see how you can fit yourself into pretty much what is the biggest TV show on right now.
Yeah.
The most awarded TV show this year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like go out there and have chats with your clients.
By the way, it could be the most decorated TV show.
Boom. Period.
We checked the stats.
Yeah.
And they couldn't verify it, but they say it's possible.
It's possible.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But guys, you know what I hate? I hate how quickly this hour flies by.
Is it over?
Our time is done.
Ah, no.
There's so much
more. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Ousman. Ousman, get out. Please go away.
But it's been a fantastic hangout with you guys. You know, I just feel like, I always ask people this when they come on the show, because I love how these stories can inspire someone out there in your hood. You're from Naledi, right?
Yeah.
Tell me where about exactly you're from Naledi.
Dry hook. Come on, the training. Got that. The last guy.
Yeah.
Right at the end. I'm that guy from Emma Shona, because people say, so, you know, some people who live in Soweto haven't been to Naledi. That's how far back it is.
It is far.
That's where the train ends.
Yeah.
But before we go, I really want to send a shout out to people who really supported us emotionally and financially.
Right.
Because we put our own money. We obviously don't have 10 million rand.
Yeah.
So we had to loan money from different people that helped us
and make it happen.
And those guys, please, I know I can't mention you because Grant will become knocking at your door
to come ask for 10 million bucks. You guys have it. I'm coming through. Yeah. And Lodi, where are you from?
I'm actually from around the corner.
So romantic. For real. Such a romantic story, that I'm actually from just
it's
around the corner.
It's not the story that everybody wants to hear, but it's my truth.
You know what? I think it's a great story. I think because of that, for that very reason, I think everybody kind of expects every story to be like, yeah, I'll be Khuzu.
Yeah.
Yo, maybe no so Khuzuki, and it's okay.
We are not rich, but I literally am from down the road. And I mean, like, my parents were like, group areas, act is fucking over. We're moving the fuck out of here. We're going. And I went to school, Bryanston Primary. I was at the Waldorf school down
that's
the road.
That's right. Shout out to all the kids from down the road.
Yeah, the other five black kids at the time.
But guys, once again, thank you so much for coming through and bringing all this metal with you to the stew. We're going to take a lot of photos with this stuff. You're going to see a lot of photos of this stuff. But once again, thanks so much for coming to hang out with me, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure and an honor to come hang out with you and like hear what comes out of your mouth and out of your mind. And I'm sure it's inspired a whole bunch of people out there. To you guys listening out there, get this podcast. Listen to it at the office. Play it at the office. You know, after this, you have it. For those of people who are out there at recordings and at meetings, play it again. You know, play it on your way to meetings. Play it for your creative directors. Play it for your creative directors. There's some words that were said here that I think they need to hear. And I just think that, you know, that kind of take in everything that's been said out here, because I feel like it's been a really, really important show. But we're done. It's been another absolutely dope show with your boy G-Man the Ad-Man. And like I say every week, you know, remember to take care of yourselves and take care of those priests, but most importantly, take care of each other, because it gets real messy out there, and we just need each other first of all in order to make this shit work. So that's fantastic. And one more thing, like I say every other week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. It's your boy G-Man the Ad Man. Boom.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know, like truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't. Boom. Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man the Ad-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
With G-Man the Ad-Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.